Amen. Y'all give him a hand clap. We're changing glasses here. Well, my wife gave me the Brighton glasses. And I said, they've got butterflies, flowers, and roses or something on them. But the truth is, they're just not strong enough. I still can't see with them. But that's better. That's better. Amen. Well, Pastor Robert, I believe, is over preaching the motorcycle thingamajigam over in Concan today. So I'll be praying for them. And tomorrow is Veterans Day. Y'all know that? Veterans Day. So don't be embarrassed, but all the veterans, whether you're in the military now or you've been in the military, please stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. All right, stay there. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down. Now, if you are a spouse, a parent, or a child of one of these, or any veteran, or anybody in the military, you stand up. Because this is what I really would like to get across this morning. America says that football players are heroes, or baseball players are heroes, or actors are heroes, but there's your heroes right there. Amen. Amen. Look around. There's a lot. There's a lot. Amen. All right. You can be seated. So thank you to all the veterans. I know I wouldn't have got through my years of service without my wife faithfully supporting and knowing that I didn't really have to worry about what she was doing or how the kids were doing or anything, that she kept all that well in hand while, and I could concentrate on what I was doing. And that was a big help. Big help. Any news on the abortion centers or anything like that? Didn't they overturn a law or didn't some judge? Mm-hmm. So without, in English, what's that mean?
Everything that was in the bill goes into
effect. And what the main part that was in the bill, I mean, just give us an overview of the bill.
First of all, it was no abortion after 20 weeks. It was also to increase the proper distribution of one of the
facility.
Mm-hmm. And so that all has been overturned temporarily. We're hoping for a permanent overturn in January. And this court is very, very conservative. They would want to upheld the funding. So what that will do on a permanent basis is it will close another 13 facilities here in Texas.
Amen. Amen. Just want you to know, if you're in here and if you've had an abortion, I mean, there is forgiveness. You that's in the past. You can't do anything about it. You ask God to forgive you and you go on. Saying that, I want to say something about the ridiculous views of what they call pro-choice. If I was to stand there and someone say, You know, I'm pro-choice. Here would be my argument. Let's not abort that baby. Let's kill the 3-year-old you've got, and let's go ahead and have that baby. And what do you think what would they say? Why? Because it's ridiculous, right? That is a ridiculous statement. But the only reason they think it's ridiculous is because they've held that kid's hand. They've seen the color of that kid's eyes, and they've held that kid while he's crying. It's the only reason. There's no difference between the 3-year-old and the one in the womb. Not any. And that is what I think why the bill and everything, but young parents need to understand that's a child. From the time of conception, that is a child. God has put a spirit in that little thing, and it's a child. And don't compound. You say, well, I made a mistake. You may have made a mistake. You may have not have wanted to get pregnant. But don't compound that mistake with another mistake. There's a lot of people out there looking for kids to adopt. And that's an excellent message to women out there that I don't think is really getting, I know it's not getting told to them through Planned Parenthood. Amen? So glad they're shutting them down. Amen. All right, get your Bibles out. Marriage. Oh, yeah, I forgot about marriage. Marriage. I have another one here. I mean, I've been asking everybody for just their wisdom in marriage and stuff because how many of y'all know marriage isn't just a bed of roses all the time? Is this true? That is a false conception. I mean, it's not. Young married couples have their first or second or third fight and they think, oh my God, we're falling out of love. No, you're just two people that don't agree with something. That doesn't mean you can't make a marriage work. If you put two people in a room, they're going to argue. You put me by my, I argue with myself. That is no kidding. I can say one thing and go, that ain't right. Just go do it this way. So see, as young married couples, you need to know that it's not about all the gushy feeling all the time, although it's great when those times come. It's about a commitment to each other that you two are going to go through anything and everything and make it work. My wife and I, although we were very young when we got married, one of the smartest things we did is we looked each other in the eye and said, this is forever. It is. There is no, not one time has she come and threw up, well, that's it, I'm done. Not one time. I mean, now, she may go up there and go, you know, they said till death do you part and we can fix that. I've heard that once or twice. But, yeah, I take care of that, but not really. Anyhow, this is about marriage right here. Stop expecting your mate to make you happy. Your being happy isn't their responsibility, it's yours. Which goes just contrary to what America is teaching right now, that it's everybody else's fault and there's no personal responsibility. True happiness and contentment comes from your relationship, not with your earthly partner, but with your heavenly Father. One of my wife's and mine's greatest attributes, I think, in our marriage is that we can trust each other. I tell you, when I was in the military, I had not even an inkling of worry about what she was doing. And that, I'm telling you, that gets you through hard times. That gets you through years of being gone and away and just, matter of fact, I'd come home one time, not from Korea, but I was gone somewhere. And I'd come home, been gone a month or two, and come home and been home about a week, and she calls the first sergeant and say, can't you send him somewhere again? So, that being a part, that helps some, but all right, you got your Bibles out? I don't know where we're going to go. How many of y'all heard Pastor Robert's message last week? How many of y'all were in here? You need to get the tape if you didn't. Excellent message. Excellent. What it was, and the overview that I got, it probably won't be the overview that you got, but the overview I got, was that the blood of Jesus not only covers, it gets rid of sin. And when God looks at you as a born-again Christian, He's not looking at you. He's looking at Jesus. So the only thing holding us back from our relationship with God is not God, because God's looking at you just like He looks at Jesus. What's holding us back is our inability to realize that our sins are no longer, they're not imputed to us. Sin is not the issue with you if you're born again. It's not. If you can catch that revelation and get that tape, because that was an excellent deal. This is the picture I got when he was preaching that. Is, since I've got the microphone, I'll be God. So I'm God. And you have Jesus standing right here. You have, I'm going to look up at the devil over there somewhere, and Frankie over here. You get to be in this. All right, so y'all know where all the players are? Everybody knows where the players are. You got God, you got the devil, you got Jesus, you got Frankie. That's all the players. And the devil comes running up there and says, "Hey, God, do you know what Frankie did? This is what Frankie did last week. Frankie did this, he did this, he did this, and he did this." And Frankie goes, "Yep, that's what I did. I got no argument with that." And God looks over at Jesus and says, "Is he in the book?" Jesus says, "Yep, he's in the book." Then God looks back at the devil and said, "He is perfect." The devil goes, No. "You're looking at Jesus. I know Jesus is perfect. I understand that. I understand he was perfect. I understand he did not sin. I understand all of that. We're talking about Frankie." And God looks over at Jesus and goes, "He's in the book, right?" "Yep, he's in the book. He is perfect." That is your standing with God. Doesn't give you a license to go sin. Doesn't give you a license to go do all those things. Because if you do it, you might ought to check your relationship with God if you're wanting to do all that. But the person who is, it is their desire to do right, but you slip up all the time. How many of y'all is that? Y'all? It's my desire to do right, but give me 10 minutes out those back doors and I'm going to do something. But that's not my desire. And that's the person who stands there before God, and God, even though you're sitting there going, "Yeah, I did do all those things," God looks at you as perfect. He looks at you and sees Jesus. That's what the blood did for you. Amen? Go get that tape. It's a great tape. I have four sayings, and the reason I have these four sayings is because in my life, these four sayings, when I'm going through something or when something comes up, God usually reminds me of one of these four sayings to help me get through whatever it is, okay? And the first one's God good, devil bad. That one, it keeps my doctrine straight. Although that God has kind of got on me a little bit, some of the things I think were good were actually bad, and some of the things I think were bad were actually good, so you can attribute things to the wrong entity. In other words, I don't like to be pressed in some areas. But God's saying, "Yeah, you need to be pressed in some areas." That's God. You know, so some of the things I would go, "I don't like that." That's maybe God moving in my life. So anyway, God good, devil bad. The second one is, it don't make sense. This is one that really helped me here lately. It don't make sense. When God tells you something and you go, that don't make sense. What that is your carnal thinking going, "That don't make sense." But the disciples and everybody that God's ever spoke to, that's what they said. It don't make sense. That don't make sense. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. Some of the examples I've given on that, and like I said, we already took up the offering, but this is just the best example that I can come up with, is giving. God moves on your heart to give somebody something, and you go, "It don't make sense. That does not make sense. Why should I do that?" That's God, but you can find it in the Word. God wants to bless people. He needs you to do it. You say, "It don't make sense." It does not make sense for me to give somebody some money when I'm the one who needs it. God said He's going to bless you through that. That's the way He blesses you. You give with a correct heart, you sow, it goes out on the waves, and it comes back on all the other waves. It starts coming back to you. That's the way this system works. That's the way God works. But in our natural thinking, we go, "It don't make sense. That does not make sense. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's not talking about the unsaved. It can be talking about the unsaved, but you can be a born-again Christian and have natural thinking. Case in point, read your Bible, and when you go, it don't make sense, that's natural thinking, because what God said is spiritual. And we're living in a natural world that it just, you got to spend time with God for it to make sense to you. And even then, it don't make sense all the time. Third one, because God said so. Why do you go to church? Because God said so. Why do you walk in love? Because God said so. Why do you do these things Christians do? Because God said so. That helps me a lot. When a guy pulls out in front of you, why do you not run up there with that big truck that you've got with a big bumper and run into the back of him? Because God said not to. I have figured out, I'm just now figuring out, how to walk in those situations and stay saved. And this is how I do it. Because in the mornings, Tracy and I always pray in the mornings, and usually somewhere in there, whether it's with me and her or whether it's me just walking out the door, I said, God, order my steps today. Order my steps today. I want to, and then give me the wisdom to walk in those ordered steps. I want my steps ordered by God today. Thank you, God, that you protect us from whatever it is out there. Lord, angels around the vehicles. Any of y'all pray prayers like that? Angels around the vehicles, around my children, around my dog, and around everything that I'm in charge of. That type of stuff. So what I finally learned is when that Yahoo pulls out in front of me, God, I'm going to say God spoke to me one day and made me realize that, remember you prayed, God, you prayed for my protection. I'm sending people out there to slow you down so that you don't hit the car in the next intersection up there. That's the only way I can get by without just throwing a wall-eyed fit when people do that. That God is acting on my behalf to slow me down, to speed me up, to get me out of a situation up and throughout the day. I still have trouble with people pulling out in front of me and driving 30 miles an hour. If you're going to pull out in front of me, at least drive the speed limit. I still have trouble with that. Don't I, Bill? Yes, I do. Yesterday, case in point. Pulled right out in front of me and then drove 30 miles an hour on a 70 mile an hour road. So, anywho. And the last one, stay plugged in. How many of y'all that's going off on your phone? Is it? Perfect. The rest of you couldn't figure it out. Or you got an iPhone 5? Those are, yeah. Stay plugged in. And I had three things for stay plugged in. That was what God spoke to me one day. Just stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. And the first one for stay plugged in was read your Bible. Folks, you've got that. How to stay plugged in? Is read your Bible. You've got to spend a little bit of time with God. Now, Pastor Robert, he does it one way, and he said up here that he reads so many chapters in this, and so many chapters in this, and so many chapters in that. I don't like to read. Okay? But I know that I need to get this in me, right? So I just don't spend time reading this chapter. It just doesn't work for me. It may work for you. What works for me is as I find a topic, like stay plugged in. That's what God spoke to me. Stay plugged in. So I start looking up. I say, how would I stay plugged in, God? Well, go to church. Well, listen. Well, you know, read your Bible. And I start studying those things. A concordance is great because you just have a word. You go back there. You look it up. It gives you all the scriptures right there. And you start looking at scriptures until you, oh, that one. I like that one. And go over there and you start reading those scriptures. That's the way I get the Word of God in me. But regardless of how it is, or how you need to, or how you do it, you need to get the Word of God in you to stay plugged in. God needs something to work with. How many of y'all went to Sunday school as a kid? How many of y'all can remember some of the things in Sunday school that you were taught when you were a teenager doing things you weren't supposed to do, and some of that stuff would come back to you? How many of y'all remember that? See, that's something. Something was put in you as a child. And now God has something to work with when you get into a tight spot. He can remind you of things. He can say, look, this is right, this is wrong, this is whatever. The problem with America today is we're going away from God, and people don't have that reserve on the inside of them for God to draw from. That is the problem. It'd be really easy to fix this America. Well, I don't know about fixing it. I can tell you how to do it. I don't know if anybody would ever do it. Daddy, stay home and love your child's mother, and go to church and worship God. Those two things would fix it. Just go back to what the founders said. It would fix it. So read your Bible. The second one was listen. Is you got to spend some time listening to what God is saying. And I do it several ways. In the shower, that's one of the best times for listening to me. And driving my truck when I turn the radio off. That's one of the best times for me just to listen to see what God has to say. And I said that last 2 weeks ago, and I'm not correct. I just want to clarify something. Not like that happens every day. Not like every time I turn the radio off, God gives me some earth-shattering thing to direct my life. But that's the times God has given me the direction in our lives for Tracy and I that we see the fruit of now. Is when I just mainly shut my radio off and said, okay, God, let's start talking. And then listen. It's the times when God said, you know, go and support Robert and Laura. It's the times when God said, how would you like to be out of the will of God in a minefield? Those are the times that I just said, okay, I'm not going to listen to the radio station today. I'm just going to turn it off and hear what God has to say. But maybe a handful of times in 24 years. So it's not like it happens every day. But you got to spend time listening to see what God has to say for you. For you. Because He wants to talk to you. Last one is go to church. And that reverts back to the other one. Why do we go to church? Because God said so. Look at Hebrews 10, I believe it's 25, maybe. See what that one says, Joe. Can you get there? Are you sure? Okay, you're there. If you were to ask people why you go to church, why do you go to church? All good reasons, but some of the answers you would get is because it's right. That's what I grew up doing, and I know I need to hear the Word of God, to get in His presence. That's all reasons you're going to hear for going to church, and they're all correct. But look what this one says right here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Your job when you come to church is to exhort people. That's what you're supposed to do. You have gifts on the inside of each and every one of you have gifts. The Bible says that He distributed gifts throughout the body. Not everybody has the same gift. You say, well, it's the pastor's job to exhort the people. That's not what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another. That's your job. You say, why isn't the church operating we're not seeing the things in the church that we're supposed to be seeing? Because the people don't know their gifts. You say, well, I don't have a clue what my gift is. That's true. Most people don't. But that's where we go back to listen. Go find out what God is speaking to you. And you say, well, that just affects me. No, it doesn't just affect me or you. You're not hearing God doesn't just affect you. You're not here and God affects everybody. Because there's a gift on the inside of you that we all need. You see healings in the church, miracles in the church. There's gifts on the inside of people. It's not up here with the microphone. It's in your everyday life. There's gifts on the inside of you. You want to see people come to church? Let the people start, or the heathen, or that's a bad word. The unbelieving. Those who don't believe. X that. Those who don't believe, you want to see them in church? Let the church start walking in their gifts. And that you'll see them. Because there's something on the inside of man that desires God. The problem in this equation is we're all the spokesmen of God. And we really don't know what we're speaking about. I mean, we do. We know the right things to say. But you have gifts on the inside of you. Every one of us. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 talks about gifts on the inside of people. Go to 1 Peter 4. 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, you've all got gifts. I know the gift God spoke to me back 20 years ago. Didn't speak it. I was reading the Bible. It jumped out at me. I went, oh my God, I don't want that. But it's a gift. And look, you don't get to pick it either. You don't get to read through those in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and go, ooh, I like that one. You don't get to pick those. Jesus picked those and he put them in you. Your job is to find out what he put in you. The only way you're going to do that is listen. Look at Luke 4:16, talking about going to church. So he, we're talking about Jesus here, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. You want to know? You say, well, I go to church every now and then. Well, I'm certainly glad the times that I was listening, I didn't miss those times. Because they've had great direction in our lives. It's one of those times when I was listening that God told me to build storage units. I'm certainly glad I did that. It's helped Tracy and I for the last 16 years. As his custom was, ask yourself, what is your custom on Sunday morning, Wednesday night? Every morning when you get up. Look, I get up at 5:30. But that's when my day starts. So my prayer time is just throughout the day. Hey, God, how's it going? Driving down the road. You know, it's called staying plugged in. Let God know that you are a willing vessel saying, all right, God, talk to me. But one of the time, I want to, and I was going to ask Sharon McGowan, but she's not here, so I get to talk about her. I was going to ask her if I could, but since she's not here, she don't have no say. So we're going to talk about her. Talking about coming to church, or encouraging people. About, I don't know, it's been 3 weeks ago, I had a dream. I have dreams all the time, as all of y'all do. You know, just have dreams. But this particular dream is a lady walks up. We're on these grounds in a church, not necessarily a church setting, but in a setting with a group of believers setting. Lady walks up, kind of just like this, and looks up at me and says, I need a hug. This is in my dream. Now, I'm not a huggy person. Didn't come from huggy. Given the choice, you know, I mean, given the choice, I'll shake your hand. If you're a man, I know I'm going to shake your hand, given the choice. Okay? If you're a lady, you've got a little more chance of getting a hug. So I have this dream. So I tell my wife, this is what happened in the dream. I told Robert and Laura, this is what happened in the dream. Because I thought this might be a God dream. I don't tell everybody all the dreams, but the ones I think might be a God dream, I tell somebody. So it was about, that was on maybe a Thursday or Wednesday, and whenever, I don't remember what day it was. But anyway, we're over there in the fellowship hall. I'm cutting up some meat. And Sharon walks up like this and goes, I need a hug. So Tracy said, what'd you do? I said, I gave her a hug. Reason I'm saying that is because it encouraged me to let me know that some of the things I'm dreaming, I probably need to take a little better look at. And if she wouldn't have done that, it would have just been another one of those dreams. And I'm like, oh, no, well, whatever. Too much pizza that night. Really don't want to be hugging on people. So, but you can't deny when the lady walks up 3 days later and goes, I need a hug. The exact words in the dream. So it encouraged me to go, you know what? Maybe some of the things that I'm having those little dreams about, I need to pay a little bit more attention to. That would have never happened if I wouldn't have been in the situation at church, and if she wouldn't have been in the situation in church, it wouldn't have happened. Why is it important for you to go to church? Because you've got stuff on the inside of you that we all need. It's that important, folks. It's not just a pastor's job to stand up here and preach. It is his job to stand up here and preach. It is our job to stand up here and minister the Word of God to you. But as you can tell, over the last 25 years, there's still empty seats in here. And what's going to fill those seats up is when y'all find y'all's gifts, ask God, God, what is my gift? And then, not just on Sunday, but on everyday life, start ministering those gifts to the people around you. You'll see this place fill up. Amen? We're done. Stand up. Frankie, you have a prayer team? Prayer team, come on up. Oh, I do want to say something, and I asked Dixie if I could say this. Y'all know Bill Dean's gone on to be with the Lord? Everybody knows that, right? I was just thinking about Bill the other day, and I said, you know what, God? Bill was a good man. And you know what Spirit told me? Bill is a good man. And I was. He is. So, my invitation to anybody who I don't know if I'm saved or not, is just like Bill, the man knew Jesus, and he's there with him today. And like God told me, it's not that he was a good man, he is a good man. You're going to live forever. If you want to live in heaven, one of these people right here can help you do that. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you for the day. Lord, I ask you to bless our pastor as he is over giving a message in Concan. Lord, just that the word will go forth, it will not come back void, but it'll accomplish what it was set forth to do. Lord, I thank you for these people in here. I thank you that they're a generous people. Lord, I thank you that they're a gifted people. But Lord, I ask you to reveal your gifts to them so that the church may grow in Jesus' name. Amen.